Hey, cats and kittens, welcome to another exciting episode of Magic the Amateuring.
That's right. It's going to be a party for your brains and for your ears.
It's going to be a party for my mouth, too. How? Don't ask.
I mean, because you're talking?
That's right. I'm having a mouth party right now.
I mean, that's what I call talking. Like, a mouth party? Oh, man, I had the best mouth party with... Nope, never mind. That sounds like something different. Never mind.
All right, statement retracted.
Statement retracted.
Hey, I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
Magic the Amateuring is a show for people who are new to Magic, veterans who are coming back to the game, and anybody who likes to have a laugh, you know, from time to time. We're here for that.
Yeah, Maria, where do those laughs come from? Because I feel like this is the first time you've ever not told us where our laughs should be coming from.
Oh, sure. Your laughs can come from a variety of different places, depending on what kind of laugh it is.
Oh.
Me personally, my laughs come from the Laugh Factory.
So you just have, like, I feel like that's like generic laughs. You're just buying cheap generic laughs?
I have a Laugh Factory inside my body is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, well, I have a Laugh Emporium, so.
Whoa, that sounds like you bought old laughs and are selling them now like vintage laughs.
That is what I'm doing. All of the laughs that I laugh have been laughed before by someone else.
That's so weird.
It's really creepy, actually.
It's so creepy. After I said it. I would go to a vintage laugh store.
Okay.
End of tangent.
Well.
Today on the show, Megan.
Yeah.
Is some big stuff.
Oh, man. What kind of big stuff are we talking?
I'm talking about some of the biggest stuff in Magic. You know, not creatures, because those are pretty big, but not as big as an entire tract of land.
An entire tract of land. Oh, snap.
Yeah, an entire tract of land. We're talking lands today on the show.
Oh boy, are we talking lands. Today, I dove down the rabbit hole of the lands in Magic's history. And man, let me tell you, Magic has had a sordid history with lands.
Oh, I bet.
It's just, you know, it's been with one set of lands and then it's tossed them aside for a new set of lands. And sometimes it has to, it rebounds with like less nice lands. And sometimes it backslides. And it, you know, and it goes and it tries dating lands that it already tried and like they weren't right for it the first time.
Yeah.
So what made them think that it was going to work out differently the second time?
Because dating is not logical.
No. And neither are lands.
No. So get your flag ready. We're going to plant it in some lands today. We're going to talk old lands, new lands, blue lands, fish lands. That didn't rhyme.
We're going to talk one land, two land, blue land, fish land.
We're going to talk can lands, man lands, hand lands. I'm sorry, everybody. I thought I was Dr. Seuss today, but I'm really just an imposter.
I mean, not everyone can be Mr. Theodore Seuss Geisel.
Theodore Geisel?
Yeah, but his middle name was Seuss.
Theodore Seuss Geisel?
I think.
Was Seuss a family name?
I have no idea.
What a middle name.
It might have been. It might have been one of those things where his mom's last name was Seuss. And they didn't want to just, you know, toss it aside because that's way too patriarchal.
Good point. Good point. Anyways, we start the show really quick, I want to point out, if you are listening to this, remember you can also watch the video cast of this episode on Tolarian Community College on YouTube.
I'm watching it right now.
Yes. Yes, we are watching it as it is created. It's very meta. It's
very, very weird.
And we're wearing our Magic the Amateuring official merch. This is official right here, everybody.
You can see the top half of your shirt in this feed and the bottom half of mine. So it's
perfect. It's perfect.
Put it together, you get a whole shirt.
none of those Magic the Amateuring ripoff shirts here on this show.
No.
Official. And you can buy them on magictheamateuring.com. Mm-hmm. Just click on the little shopping cart. Boom. There you go. $25. Flat rate shipping.
You'll get yourself a shirt.
Yeah, we've got a limited supply, so get over there ASAP, everybody, because I don't want you to miss out when we are sold out. They're also a reward for our $5 and $10 an episode Patreon subscribers. So if you want to do it that way, that would also be great. Sign up on patreon.com/mtacast. Yeah, we got some sweet swag. You might also realize that Megan and I are in a strange yellow room for this episode.
Please send help.
My Christmas tree is not behind us this episode. Instead,
stole it away.
We've also got these fancy microphone arms. Mm-hmm. You guys, it's basically like we've evolved.
We've had our Christmas tree privileges revoked.
Yeah, now we're just talking into two robots.
Someone decided that we didn't deserve it. P.S. that someone is the robot overlords.
Send help, please. Just so you know, this wall is not always going to be this puke colored yellow. It's going to be painted.
Oh, but when you describe it like that, I'm going to miss it so much when it's gone.
And we're going to have some Magic the Amateuring art on the wall, or magic art, you know, whatever. It's going to be better. But yeah. Small steps, everybody. Small steps.
For mankind.
For magic kind.
Are you ready to go to Land University?
I am. I've enrolled. Were my grades in Land High School good enough to get me into this college?
Yeah, absolutely. And you did really well on your Land ACTs and SATs, which we look at both.
Thank you. I wrote a really good Land essay, too. I don't know if you read that.
No, we definitely did. We take essays into account. And your references, your Land references, were all stellar.
Oh, thank you.
Really superb. Yeah. So congratulations on your acceptance.
Do you know the title of my essay?
I mean, of course, but you could, why don't you tell us?
Sure. It was called Rocks Rock by Maria.
It was pure poetry, really.
Thank you.
When you get down to it. So we're going to start, you know, when you're looking at all these lands, mm-hmm. you're like, holy bejesus, there's a lot of lands.
That's what I usually think.
Yeah. But I was like, how am I going to divide this up? There's so many ways you could go. You could go chronological. You could go reverse chronological. You could go alphabetical. You could go reverse alphabetical. You could go just like by picking your favorites and putting the ones that you don't like towards the end.
Oh, okay.
I decided to put them into categories.
All right. What do you got?
So we're going to go through land categories. The first one is what I just called like general tap lands. They are lands that are going to come into play tapped. For various reasons, and they produce two colors of mana, or three colors of mana.
In some cases.
Exactly. Right, because we could cover, right, we all know that there's basic lands.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're done talking about that.
The end! Yay!
There are basic lands, the end. There are forests, there are mountains, there are islands, there are plains, there are swamps. Basic lands.
And waste now.
And waste! Oh, snap.
It is a basic land.
It is a basic land. Tap lands, they tap for two or three colors. So if you remember, like, in RTR,
yeah.
right, you had the gates,
mm-hmm.
all those guild gates. That's an example of just like a regular old, you know,
regular land. Old two color.
It comes into play tapped, and then you can tap it for one of either of two colors.
I want to make a point here. Something that a lot of veterans mention to me when they're coming back to playing Magic, they'll say something like, so now dual lands, they come into play tapped, and they can't just... There's a drawback to them. So sometimes they're used to dual lands being just mountain island, tap it, get whatever you want.
And I'm like, get to those magical creatures.
Ooh, too good, too good.
Oh,
anyway,
snap.
Nowadays, there's drawbacks, kids.
Yeah. So these come into play tapped. This also includes like the tri-lands you remember from Khans of Tarkir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same idea. It comes into play tapped, and then later on you can tap it for one of three colors of mana. Pretty sweet. Those were also back in Shards of Alara.
Oh, really?
We have never played that block, but it was also very heavily, you know, they did Shards. That's where we get Esper and Bant and all those buddies from. Jund. Those are all Alara, and Alara had tri-lands similar to the Khans ones. There's a couple of variations. Like, if you remember in Fate Reforged, we had the ones that gain one life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same idea. It taps for one of two colors. It comes to play tapped. But hey, bonus.
You get a life.
Pretty cool. Then there were also the ones that let you scry and Theros. Scry lands. All of the different temples. They were all called, you know, temples of some kind.
Yeah, like Temple of Mystery was that
one? Yeah, it totally was. Mm-hmm. That was blue-green.
Yep.
Temple of Enlightenment was blue-white.
Yep.
So different temples. You got to scry one. Pretty chill. There are the bounce lands, which we were acquainted with in Modern Masters.
Yeah, and that Masters original Ravnica.
Exactly. And those, those are a little bit different from the rest, where they come into play tapped, but you also have to return a land to your hand when you put them into play.
Yeah.
So, but on the upside, they tap for both colors of mana at the same time. So
yeah.
You can't just tap it for red or blue. You tap it for red and blue.
Yeah, and those lands are really powerful. And if you played in Modern Masters 2 or in original Ravnica, you know that you could play fewer lands in your deck because of those lands.
Yeah, pretty sweet. And it's just straight up card advantage. It's as if when you have it in your hand, you have two lands because you're going to get to replay the one that you bounced to your hand.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
It's pretty sweet. You know, drawback comes into play tapped. It is also those lands which the Amulet of Vigor or the Bloom Titan decks are built around, because they have that powerful effect, right? Usually when you're playing them in limited, or like we've played them, you'll play like, you know, a forest, and then maybe you'll play your bounce land, and yeah. you'll bounce that forest back to your hand because yeah. you have to bounce something. Well, you could also bounce the bounce land, but why would you do that? You haven't been able to tap it for mana. Amulet of Vigor lets you untap it, and then you tap it for 2 mana, and crazy things go down.
Yeah, that deck is Kraytowns.
It is insane.
And you kind of have to be a little crazy to play it.
Yeah.
In a good way. And sometimes a bad way.
There's also a couple. There are ones that I noticed, like when if you tap them for, you could tap them for colorless, or you could tap them for one of either of the two colors. But when you tap them, they didn't untap the next turn.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Which seems like a pretty heavy drawback. We've never played with those, but no. I was reading it and I was like, this seems like a scam.
And that seems like a tough thing to remember.
Well, I mean, if it's tapped,
then you just yeah. have to leave it. But then I'm like, wait.
The first time you leave it, and then the next time you untap, yeah, no, it's definitely...
I'm like, did I tap? Did I use that last turn?
It's one of those things where it kind of like ups the useless complexity.
Yeah.
There's like mm-hmm. good upping of complexity where you have to make complex decisions, and then there's bad complexity where you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that seems like, ugh, I don't know. When was yeah. that?
I don't remember. I didn't write down which okay. set that was. I just thought... hanging around.
Yeah, if you had to deal with that, let us know, because I want to know if that was something you forgot.
Did you remember?
Yeah, did you remember?
Did you always remember? So also important to note about those lands, you know, like all of our basic lands, basic forest, basic mountain, on their type line, they say basic land dash forest.
Yeah.
These all just say land, because obviously they're not basics, and they also don't say like forest or mountain or any of those types. They're just a land, but they're not forest, mountain. They're not that sort of thing.
Right.
Which is really important because you can't fetch them up with fetches or something that says, yeah, like if it's something that says search for a forest, you can't search for these because it's not a forest.
Smart call, wizards. Smart call.
Smart call. So next we're going to move on to what I called unusual singles, which is also what I call myself.
I wasn't going to say it.
I mean, someone had to point it out. So these are lands that don't, they only tap for one color.
Yeah.
But they're not just regular old basic lands.
Oh.
There were a set of artifact lands in Mirrodin.
That makes sense.
And these are all banned in Modern because there was one that tapped for white. There was one that tapped for, there were all five.
How much do they cost?
They're just a land. It's your land for the turn.
Oh, I kind of want to look these up right now.
Yeah, you totally should. So if you want to look at any of these, or if you want to look at all lands, you can just go to Gatherer and don't search for any words, but just put in the type land, and it'll come up. Anyways, so they just made the affinity deck insane.
Oh, absolutely insane.
Just bonkers, because this is your land for the turn.
Oh my god.
And they tap for whatever color, you know, the blue one taps for blue, the white one taps for white, but it's also an artifact that adds to your artifact.
Yeah, so
count.
Here's a blue example, Seat of the Synod, tap, add blue to your mana pool, artifact land.
That's just it.
That's just what it is.
Like, it's pretty bonkers.
And this is also where, by the way, Darksteel Citadel comes from, which is still played.
Yes, absolutely. That one is allowed. The ones that tap for the different colors are a big no.
Tree of Tales, tap, add green, artifact land.
Right? Insane.
Pretty great.
Pretty crazy. This is also where the Snowlands come in.
Snowlands!
Yes.
I love them.
We opened that, we cracked that pack of Cold Snap.
Yep.
And had a sweet Snowland in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And those, we know that the Snowlands, again, I think those are basics, actually. They're like a snow basic. And then they say forest or mountain. So you can search those.
Snow-covered forest, land.
Oh, so it's not. So you mm-hmm. can't search it. All right, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Snow-covered forest, it's land, it's not a basic. And then in those sets, they enabled different cool things. Sometimes if you had to tap for you know, if you cast something with a snow-covered land, you got a bonus. Sometimes if you controlled a snow-covered land, you got a bonus, that sort of thing.
Did you know this fun fact?
What?
Effects that target non-basic lands can't target basic snow lands.
Oh.
Snow has no particular meaning or rules associated with it. I would beg to differ. Snow has a very particular meaning for me.
I mean, for me, it means 6 months of winter.
Yep. Yeah, unlimited, you couldn't add basic snow lands to your deck from outside the card pool.
Which is what wastes are going to be like, which is a very relevant discussion.
Yeah, they said that's...
Oh, yeah, at the World Magic Cup, wastes will, I believe they said, not be in the basic land slot ever, for one.
Yeah, they're going to just be a common, right?
And they're going to be a common, and you're not going to be able to add them from outside.
Really?
Yeah, you're going, if you need to play wastes or you want to play wastes for some reason, you have to draft them. Kind of like the tap land, like the tri lands and cons.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or any
okay.
of the any of the rare lands when you're drafting.
Okay.
Then we also have ones which I called like half spells, which kind of fit into the idea of like this like Skyline Cascade right now or Looming Spires, where they come into play tapped. But they only tap for one color. But that one time when they come into play, you get some sort of sweet bonus.
So, you know, like when a creature comes into play and has some kind of thing like, oh, when this comes into play, it deals one damage to target creature or player. We call that sort of like on a stick, like because it's a spell, but it has a creature attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we call lands that have something attached to it?
It's a land on a stick.
It's a land on a pole.
What? Why is it on a pole and not on a stick?
I don't know. Just longer.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Then there were also ones. So those have happened throughout history, right? This Skyline Cascade, Looming Spires, that Mortuary Mire. That's not the first cycle of those. That's not the first time that those have happened. That's been seen in the past. Been there. Done that.
Yep.
Then there's also ones, lands in the past that you could cycle. So instead of playing this land, you could discard it. I believe you had to pay whatever the color was. Like if it was, if it tapped for black, you would discard it and pay black and you could draw a card instead.
Yes.
Which is, you know, really nice. Could help you from flooding. Something like that. And then there were ones also in the past, like Halimar Depths. Is an example of one of kind of like the spell effect type lands where when it comes into play tapped, you get to look at the top three cards.
Sure.
And put, I believe it just goes on top. You get to put one on top and two on bottom if you want to look that up.
Sure.
We'll clarify. So I'm not nixoning it up over here.
When Halimar Depths enters the battlefield, look at the top three cards of your library, then put them back in any order.
Oh, sweet. Yep. I was misremembering that, so I'm glad we looked it up. So yeah, that's again one of these like spell type effects.
Yep.
And then it just taps for plain old blue. All right, Maria.
What, Megan?
It's time to talk about all the duels.
You mean like fighting with swords when I throw my glove in your face and say, "How dare you take my woman? I will stab you with a pointy stick."
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to do a cataloging of history's most infamous duels.
Ooh.
From here on out.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we're going to start with, obviously, actually, you shouldn't have let me do this.
Why? Because
now I'm going to nerd out about the history of duels. Do you want to hear it real quick?
You know the entire history of duels?
No, not the whole history of duels, but do you want to hear, like, my favorite, like, little fact?
Sure.
Okay, so the reason why, you know, like, originally is where the mashup word went. So it was just like to the death.
Yeah.
All of these duels were to the death.
Yeah.
Hardcore. And eventually,
most things in those days were to the death. Honestly.
Yeah.
Are you gonna eat that soup? Yeah.
To the death. Illness.
To the death.
To the death.
Childbirth. To the death.
To the death. Anyways.
Yes.
So they had, the French nobility had an issue where literally they were all dying off
because
they kept dueling each other.
Oh my God.
And the king of France was like, motherfucker, like we're not going to have any French nobility left because all of you have egos that are so huge and bodies that are so fragile. You keep dueling each other to the death. And so he was like, okay, from now on, duels are just to first blood. And that's why dueling eventually moved from to the death to first blood so that there could still be a French nobility.
That's so crazy.
Obviously until the revolution came around.
Have you ever seen clothing from back in those days, like that men wore in around the, you know, the 16, 1700s?
I haven't looked at it, no.
I've seen some in a museum, and it was the size that a 10-year-old child would wear.
Yes, they're so tiny.
They're so tiny.
Did you know that Napoleon was 5'7"?
Yeah.
And that was average for the time.
Yeah.
But it was a conversion in the measurement systems from France to the UK that let all of the London newspapers basically spread a lie.
Yeah.
About his height.
About him being so tiny.
About him being so tiny.
Yeah, but that's so funny to me. It's like they were so malnourished and just kind of like, they're just the smallest humans.
Life was tough as shit, man.
Yeah, it was.
We'd all be that tiny too.
Interesting.
Anyways. Well, that was join us on our
okay, next topic.
This is dueling the amateuring. Thanks for
we have so many podcasts to do. Codcast.
The Codcast.
Grandma Cast. Why, you know, oh my gosh.
Anyways.
Yeah.
The cat one.
Yeah.
Magic the Catning. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to lands that are what I call, you know, like duels in terms of they're a little bit more powerful than just your basic tap lands, in part because they have the ability to enter the battlefield untapped.
So they're that's the differentiation between the two.
Yeah. Okay. So there have been tons of different kinds of these. They're the original duels, which are the ones that you were talking about, where it was just like, boom, this sucker taps for green, black, deal with
it. And that's it.
And it has both types. And it is a, you know, it's a swamp forest.
Yeah, these lands are crazy. They're so powerful. They're so powerful because they allow your mana and your deck to just function so much more smoothly and better.
Absolutely.
Than it does now. And so
you can fetch them.
I mean,
they come into play untapped. Yeah, you can fetch them
untapped.
You don't have to pay any life for that to happen.
Instant speed untapped dual land.
They're OG, man.
Yeah.
OG dual
land. OG OP. Goop.
So that's Badlands.
Wait, what? Yeah, I said OGOP and I made the the acronym Goop. But that's wrong. It would be
OGUP.
Doesn't work as well.
OGUP.
Yeah.
So, those are Badlands, Bayou, Plateau, Savannah, Scrubland, Taiga, Tropical Island, Tundra, Underground Sea, and Volcanic Island.
Wow.
Total ballers. Maybe if you play Holiday Cube, Vintage Cube sometimes. I think some of these are in the Legacy Cube.
You can still play these suckers in Legacy or Vintage, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I'm talking about if you're playing on Magic Online and you don't have $1 billion, that's some of these places you can
speak for yourself, Megan. I have $5 billion.
Well, then why are we against this puke-colored wall?
You're right. I would have already had my boys in there to paint it.
You should hire people of working age.
Well,
to put that out there. Child labor laws are real.
I feel like they need to learn a trade.
Okay. Well, moving on. There's also the Shocklands, which do the same thing. They have they have the land types, right? So one of these that taps for blue white, like a hallowed fountain, is a land island plains.
Yep.
So you can search for it with a fetch. Or something like that. And we saw these in Original Ravnica and Return to Ravnica. They're called Shocklands because they come into play tapped, but you can pay 2 life to have them come into play untapped.
And Shock was a card that dealt 2 damage to you, and so they're named after Shock.
That's their dad's name.
Not to you, to your opponent. Whatever, you get it.
Yeah, their dad's name was Shock and their mom's name was Lance.
Like a horse.
What?
You combine the parents' names to make the new name of the baby. Why do you think horses at the Kentucky Derby have the weirdest fucking names you've ever heard?
I just assumed because we were out of things to name them at this point. People were like, what should we name this horse? And they're like, shit, I don't know, man.
Because you couldn't...
We've used all of the names. All of the names.
Keep in mind, Shocklands were also named Shocklands because if you play in a wintry climate where the air is really dry, when you tapped them, ooh, ouch, if you're playing on some carpet, you got a nasty shock.
Why were you playing on carpet?
You know, you were just being casual about it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Set of lands like these that have the types on them, again, like island swamp, are the Havelands, or whatever the fuck we're calling them. Which are the lands from the current set.
You mean Tango Lands?
Sure. Whatever. Do you know what? I'm out of it.
Are people calling it's them like have lands? Horses. Are people calling them have lands?
Yes, you have to have two.
That's so dumb.
Your face is dumb. Tanglelands is dumb. It's like horses. We don't have anything to name them anymore. Fuck it. All the names are taken.
Okay, Tanglelands is dumb. I admit that. Okay, but have lands?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound like two words, Havelands. It sounds like...
Havelands.
Havelands. It sounds like an area in Lord of the Rings. The Havelands.
Oh, yes. Frodo and Samwise had some of their greatest trials
sex in the Havelands. What did you say? Trials? Oh.
Trials. Anyways, mm-hmm. I read a different set of Lord of the Rings
well,
books.
I think you need to read between the lines with those two.
Okay.
Just saying.
So these are the ones that are in the current set.
Yeah.
Where you have to have two basic lands already in play, and then they'll come into play untapped. Of course, you can always play them earlier than that. They'll just simply come into play tapped.
Very powerful.
Yep. Same thing. Very powerful. Again,
you can fetch them.
Because you can fetch them in part. Then there are buddy lands. We saw these in Innistrad and the corresponding core set that came after that. These don't have the type. But as they're buddy lands in that, so the one that taps for blue-white, for instance, I think which is Glacial Fortress, something like that. The one that taps for blue-white, if you have an island or a plains, then it comes into play untapped.
Glacial Fortress Sweet. Enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a plains or an island. Tap, add white or blue to your mana pool.
Sweet. So those are pretty cool. You know, it's kind of like the Havelands, except you only have to have one or the other of the other two colors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but not fetchable because it's not an island or a plains. It's just a land that taps for two different colors and has a potential to come into play untapped.
So what do you want more, a Havland or a buddy land?
You know, I think it's hard to say because it was two different environments in, so Innistrad and then the core set that followed that had the buddy lands in them were directly followed by Return to Ravnica, which had shock lands. So you did have, for something like modern, you did have fetchable lands and there weren't even fetches. It's really complicated because it depends on the environment. Like in a fetch environment without shock lands, I'd rather have lands. Because I can fetch for them.
Yeah.
But with in an environment without fetch lands, I would rather have the buddy lands.
How about in this environment?
Like this current
you
one.
You want halves.
You want have lands because because you have fetches. Sure. So in order to make the best use of fetches, you would want something like the have lands. But otherwise, if you didn't have fetches, then it's like, well, I'd rather have a buddy land because I only have to have one basic for this to come into play.
Man, do you, I feel like I've never known a time when there weren't fetch lands, which I obviously have. But I didn't really know. I didn't follow standard very much then.
No.
Now I'm like waiting, like, what's it going to be like? Are they going to continue to print fetches? Or
so much less shuffling.
I will be so happy so when we get those fetches right the out of there because I don't want to watch that much shuffling.
There's so much shuffling.
Do you think I don't have arthritis? I do. But I will. I mean, probably next year if I played standard.
Take my turn, shuffle, shuffle. Take your turn, shuffle, shuffle,
shuffle. Shuffle, shuffle. Take your turn, shuffle. There's so much shuffle. Shuffling. It's There's like an old shuffling. Soft shoe act up in here.
A plus reference.
Thank you.
Then there are what I call the recluse lands. I don't think that that's actually what they're called. But these are, again, not fetchable, but they come into play untapped as long as you control two or fewer other lands.
From Scars of Mirrodin?
Yeah, this is from Scars of Mirrodin.
Oh.
I called them recluse lands because they don't like having other lands around.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
So anyways, yeah, those are, you might see those in play in, I think the version of Boggles that I've played once had some recluse lands in it.
Do you remember an example?
I don't remember the names of them off the top of my head.
Okay. And Mirrodin
is with an I.
Oops. Scars, land. Okay, let's see if it's not. Nope.
Yep, you just have to go back to Gatherer.
What did I do?
Okay, and put card set and put Scars of Mirrodin.
Where am I?
And then on the right, under filter by.
Oh.
This is also a podcast lesson on how to use Gatherer. Anyways, those still see some play. There you have it. Then there's ones that I called creatures lands.
Oh, they are recluse lands.
Right? They just want to be by themselves.
You had some of these in your Boggles?
Yeah, I think I had the, I think I had the green white one. Is there a green white one? No, I had
the... Oh, yeah, Razor Verge Thicket. Yep, that's in there.
I definitely had Razor Verge Thickets.
Enters the battlefield tapped unless you control two or fewer other lands. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So as long as it's before your third land drop, you know, comes into play untapped. It just doesn't like being around people, okay?
I mean, it's reckless.
Mm-hmm. And then Lorwyn had a set of dual lands where they came into play tapped unless you revealed a creature with the type associated with that color pairing in Lorwyn. So in Lorwyn, there was like, you know, the green-black land dual land came into play tapped unless you revealed an elf because that was the green-black tribe on Lorwyn. So those were rares. Again, non-fetchable. Pretty cool.
Oh, I see. Here's an example. Wanderwine Hub. As Wanderwine Hub comes into play, you may reveal a Merfolk card from your hand. If you don't, it comes into play tapped. Add white or blue.
There you go.
Okay, that's kind of cool. And Lorwyn was so heavy on tribal themes, so that's appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And actually, I came to an answer to your question, too. Do you remember the ones that I said there were the ones that don't untap?
Yeah.
There was a set of dual lands, again, non-fetchable, that would tap for one or either color, or you could tap them for colorless.
Yep.
If you tap them for colorless, nothing happens. If you tap them for one color or the other, then you have to put a depletion counter on it.
What?
I know. It was very complicated. You put a depletion counter on it. If at the beginning of your, or when you untap on your next turn, if it has a depletion counter, you remove it, but you don't untap the land.
Oh.
And then on your next turn, when it doesn't have a depletion counter, you can untap. So if it has a depletion counter, remove it. And if it doesn't, you get to untap it.
Okay.
Right? So they basically, they kind of like...
I suppose that sort of fix it. Yeah. All right.
Sure. It still seemed pretty stupid. I still don't want to deal with that. Right?
I'm lazy. I'll four counters. I'll do it. I don't know. That seems to be... I would fuck that up somehow. I mean, classic me.
Classic you. Next, we've got something that we played with in a Legendary Cube.
Yeah.
These are storage lands. There's also currently one in Standard.
Mm.
So in the Legendary Cube, we are playing with a couple that you could either tap them for colorless,
mm-hmm.
or if they, you know, to get storage counters on them, you do have to spend time, you know, investing resources into these lands. So they'll tap for it, right? They come into play and you can tap them for one colorless.
Sure.
But in order to get more than that out of them, you have to pay one and tap the land and you get to put a storage counter on it. And, you know, this is a nice thing to do if you're not doing anything else with your turn.
If you're just diddly farting around.
Exactly. Maybe you get to your opponent's end step and you're like, oh, this storage land and I have another land on tap so I can put a storage counter on.
Right.
These are pretty sweet because then later on you can tap it and remove storage counters and you get all of that mana that you've invested in it back. There are some dual versions from the past or from Legendary Cube where you can tap it for a colorless and then you can tap it and get combinations of either of the two colors that the land is. So like the blue-white one, you could tap it and get a bunch of white for all those counters. You could tap it and get a bunch of blue for all those counters. Or you could tap it and get some combination of blue and white.
Right.
We currently have Mage Ring Network in Standard,
yes,
which is the same
do.
Idea, but it's all colorless.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would the Vivid Lands fall into this category?
I have those under a separate category.
Oh.
Because the Vivid Lands come into play with counters already on them.
So you don't have to store. They've come pre-stored.
Exactly. They're pre-stored, but they can't be refilled later. They're like a disposable water bottle. This is like... The storage lands are like an aluminum water bottle that you're being eco-conscious and you buy it at the store.
You put a little water in every day.
Exactly.
Until one day you just use that water.
Until one day you have a full bottle.
You just dump it out.
Until one day you finally have a full bottle of water and you're like, fuck yes, this is what I've been working for. Thank God.
Finally, I can drink something.
Yes.
I was about to die.
And then we have something that we were talking about last week when we were talking about the lands where someone told me that they're called filter lands, where if it's the blue-white one, you pay blue or white, and you tap this land,
and you
can get white-white, blue-white, or blue-blue.
Filter, oh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, right? Because it takes, you know, you're putting in one of the colors that you need, but it filters it into whatever two color combination you need.
It's like a prism.
Yeah, it's real nice, except for only two colors.
Yeah, a very sad rainbow.
And we, so Cascade Bluffs is an example of one of these. It's played in some of the scape shift lists.
What did you almost say, Megan?
Scape shit lists.
You better clean your room or you're going to be on my scape shit list, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Jace, okay?
Okay.
All right, don't go off playing in those rings.
So those are from Eventide, Filterlands.
Okay.
Like Cascade Bluffs. Still played in a minority in modern decks. Then we have what we know as our fetch lands. Yeah, we're all pretty well acquainted with them. Yep. Following Khans of Tarkir, you can't tap them for any mana at all, mister. Oh no. You have to.
They're basically just fucking fakes.
And yet you have to change them in for the real thing.
They're posers. They're poser lands. That's what
they're,
I would have called them.
They're IOU notes.
They're like a wooden nickel that you can use to get real money.
Like all wooden nickels work.
Yep.
So we have premium ones, which is what I called them in Zendikar and Khans, which they come into play untapped. You tap and sack, and you can go fetch, you know, like an island or a plains,
sure.
For example. It allows you to fetch anything with either name in its title. So if it says tap, sack, find a plains or an island and put it into play, then you can find anything that says plains or any land that says plains or island. So it allows you to fetch, again, like those original duels or the shock lands or the have lands. There were also a cycle of these, I found out, that came into play tapped.
What?
Yeah, there were fetch lands that came into play tapped.
That seems like...
But they're not the premium ones. They're not the one... Exactly. And nobody does because there's just these better fetch lands.
What?
So you would never play them. Then in Alara, there were also panoramas. Which allow you to fetch one of three colors.
Oh.
But only basics, okay. Which is important to note.
Okay.
Right, so some of these, if it says basic, like Evolving Wilds,
yeah.
You only get to find a basic land. In that sure. case, you couldn't go find a shock land, because even though it says, you know, Island Swamp on it, it's not a basic land.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. And then, let's see, I had another one called... Croson Verge. Look that up. My brain is blanking.
Okay.
I don't remember why I wrote that down.
How is it spelled? Crow.
Yeah. So the Alara ones, the panoramas, like that.
Croson. Oh, okay.
The Alara ones only let you fetch for basics, but one of any of the three colors in that one.
Croson Verge enters the battlefield tapped. Tap, add one colorless. To your mana pool, two colorless, tap, sacrifice it, search your library for a forest card and a plains card, and put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library.
So there you go. Same thing, except it lets you get one of each.
Wow.
But it comes into play tapped, and you do have to pay mana to activate that ability. But in the meantime, it taps for colorless. I found that was another
seems, that seems pretty good, type. That land there.
I believe it was also available in the Legendary Cube as okay. something that you could draft.
Yeah.
So crazy, right?
Cool.
I didn't even know that there were all these types of fetch lands.
I didn't know there were all these types of lands, period.
And I think when people say fetch lands, they typically mean the ones that were in original Zendikar and the ones that we've had in Khans. They mean, you know, like the premium, the primo, the A-plus stuff.
The cream of the fetch crop.
Exactly. All right. Next, we're going to move on to pain lands. we've had these before. We had them in the last two core sets in Origins and M15. They come into play untapped, and they let you tap for a colorless, or you can tap for one of either of their two colors, but it deals you a damage.
Yeah, as a Rakdos player, I accept.
You're like, okay, give me that sweet red mana. I don't care what you take from me in return.
Yeah, I like pain, you know, as a Rakdos player.
Yeah.
Actually, side note, somebody asked us yeah. on Twitter, they're like, hey, do you guys feel that your color associations that you most identify with, Rakdos for me, Azorius for you, represents you in life? And I'm like, oh, great question. And I've often wondered that. Do you think I'm a very Rakdos person, Megan?
No. No, you're super not.
I'm not Rakdos whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Which is really funny. Like, why am I bringing that? Why is my Rakdos side being brought out on the battlefield?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Do you think that I'm blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no question.
Cool. I feel like you're pretty, you're like Bantish.
You think? Yeah. Explain.
I feel like Bant is like pretty, like you're like pretty calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bant to me is like fairly tranquil.
I am a tranquil human because I found that not being one means that things are much harder.
I'm a trained human. I take tranquilizers. Then there are also what I called drawback lands. This is stuff like mana confluence, right? Where you can tap for one of any color, but it deals you a damage. And you can't tap for colorless. So no matter what you tap this land for, it's going to hurt you.
Right.
City of Brass is similar. Forbidden Orchard, which we saw the expedition spoiled. Beautiful.
It is just gorgeous.
Beautiful. Oof. You can tap it for any color, but your opponent gets a 1/1 spirit.
I'm never playing that.
Weird. Very weird.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
What the heck deck is playing that? I mean, honestly, that card is so good.
Someone who,
for their opponent.
Someone who doesn't care about spirits.
So like.
Like anyone who doesn't believe in ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't ever seen this card in play. So, listeners, if you happen to know a deck that Forbidden Orchard is very good in, let us know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm not entirely sure, and I haven't ever seen it played in a deck, but it exists for a reason.
I guess so.
Even if that reason is someone made a mistake.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Anyways, then there's also one called Glimmer Void, which comes in with 3 mining counters on it. You tap it for any color, remove a mining counter. When all the mining counters are gone, you gotta sack that, bro.
All right, so you would classify that as pain as well?
I called those drawback lands.
Oh, drawback lands. Okay, yeah.
Because they're a little bit more intense than pain lands.
Yeah, if you really want to torture yourself.
They have a full-on drawback. Now we're getting a little bit more general.
Okay.
The next ones that we're going to talk about are what are typically called man lands.
Man lands.
I like to call them woman lands.
I like to call them human lands.
I like to call them person lands.
I like to call them a spirit inside of a meat suit lands.
Weird.
That's what we are.
So these are lands that can also be activated to become a creature.
Yep.
There have been a ton, again, in the history of Magic. So I just wrote down a couple that are maybe still relevant because they see play in Modern. We know the current ones, we have Lumbering Falls and Shambling Vent.
Yeah.
Are a couple that are in the current set.
I think that actually a PC name for these is Creature Lands, right?
Creature Lands. No, anyway. you're very right.
Yeah. Creature Lands. Continue.
There's Blink Moth Nexus and Ink Moth Nexus.
So many moths.
Yes, which see play in Affinity or Infect, respectively. Of course, there's Mutavault, which sees play in some more tribal-themed deck like Merfolk because it has all creature types, which is pretty cool. Dryad Arbor, which... Foggles. You don't have to activate. It just is a creature.
Yeah.
It has the drawback of when it comes into play, you can't tap it because it's summoning sick. But Boggles uses it to protect against sacrifice effects, which is pretty cool.
And I love Dryad Arbor, you guys. Can I just say for a second? So I pimped out my Boggles deck and I made my Boggles foils, but I also made my Dryad Arbor, the prettiest Dryad Arbor. It's foil and it's like full art of like a tree lady.
Oh, that's
cute. It's really great.
And then there's a couple that, like Creeping Tar Pit, Celestial Colonnade.
Creeping Tar Pit.
I know, right? It's blue-black. Celestial Colonnade is the blue-white flying one. Raging Ravine, which is red-green, and Stirring Wildwood, which is green-white.
Still, all of these names are so, such...
Pretty dirty.
Such metaphors.
Raging Ravine.
Creeping Tar Pit. Oh, God.
Celestial Colonnade.
Well, that's nice. You know, that's a nice one.
That is a nice one.
If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, right on.
So those are just a couple you might see in play in Modern and or Standard. Because, you know, they're cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Or there's decks that play those colors that need that type of effect. Like Celestial Colonnade, it's a lot of control decks. So eventually, you know, they control. And
they need some kind of win condition.
Beat you up.
Yeah.
With the land. Sweet. We have the Vivid Lands, which you mentioned earlier.
Yes, I did. I love these lands.
There are one of each of the five. They come into play tapped with two counters on them. You can tap them for either their base color, which is like if it's the green one, you can tap it for green. Or you can tap it and remove one of the counters and add a mana of any color.
These lands were great. We played with them in Modern Masters 1, yeah. And they were just fantastic.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
They made for some crazy shenanigans and for playing, you know, five color more viable. Or just like splashing in general. You could play three colors pretty easily in the first Modern Masters.
Absolutely.
If you wanted.
Then there are what I've called the mean lands.
Great
These are
name.
Lands that have other destroy other land type effects.
Oh, okay.
Encroaching Wastes, Ghost Quarter, Rishadin Port, which doesn't actually destroy, but you can tap Rishadin Port, pay one, and tap another land.
That is mean.
Strip Mine, Tectonic Edge, and Wasteland.
Can we call these rude lands? Because that's just rude.
Sure. I mean, I thought that they were being straight up mean, but I guess it is just
rude.
Rude. So depending on the land, it has a different type of effect. Like Wasteland is just straight up tap it, sack it, destroy a non-basic.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye, one for one. Strip Mine is a tap, sack it, destroy target land.
Yeah, doesn't even have to be non-basic.
Doesn't even have to be non-basic. Tectonic Edge, I believe, can only be used. You have to pay one, and it can only be used if they have four or more lands.
Yeah, so it's less rude.
Less rude, because it's like, I'm not taking away all your mana, I'm just taking away some of it.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, these are all different effects that you can use to get rid of your opponent's non-basics for the most part.
So, question.
Yes.
Are there decks that are being played that rely so heavily on their non-basic lands that land destruction is very powerful against them?
Yeah, there is an entire control deck in Legacy based around effing with people's mana bases.
Yeah.
It's called lands.
It's called lands.
It's called lands. They play lots of everything and destroy lands.
Huh.
And then they play Rude. Stuff like Life from the Loam, which allows them to then play the lands again from their graveyard.
Yeah.
It's just a real jerk move. And
do you want no friends? Play lands.
Yeah, and I would say that the decks at this point that focus on land destruction aren't just trying to target fixing, they're taking away all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're just like, they're not stopping at being a little bit rude and taking away one of their lands. They're just like, I'm going after the whole fucking cake, man. Like, I don't want a slice of your cake. Give me your goddamn cake now.
Yeah, yeah. That's like me at my nephew's last birthday party, am I right?
Maria, he was only turning 5, and that was kind of
I needed wine and cake. # sad 30s.
Then there are the Urza lands, which the ones that we're going to talk about are Urza's Mine, Urza's Power Plant, and Urza's Tower.
I love Urza's Power Plant being the name of a land for some reason. It's just so weird.
It is super weird. If you have all three, then they all tap for a butt ton of mana. Like if you write individually, they tap for one. All together, Tower taps for 3, and Mine and Power Plant each tap for 2. So between the three lands, you can tap for 7 and cast yourself a Karn.
Wow.
Right? Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So powerful that there's an entire modern deck and several variations built around it called Tron.
Tron!
Tron! Urza lands. There are some other ones, but the three that people use. Mine,
Did you know
Power
this?
Plant, Tower. What?
If you have at least one of each of the three of Urza's lands on the battlefield, you must take the 2 mana instead of just one.
You must?
You must.
Is that in the rules?
Yeah. That's funny.
I guess maybe that was relevant during like the days of Mana Burn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you have to take that 2. You built this goddamn power plant to make more mana. You're going to make it.
Yeah.
Don't you waste it.
Funny.
Sweet. Then there are what I've called the ability lands. There are a whole bunch of these. Again, so I'm just going to mention a couple that see some play. Academy Ruins, you might see in some cubes. One in a blue, and you can put an artifact from your graveyard on top of your deck. So obviously great in artifact-based strategies and cubes. Boseiju, who shelters all, allows you to make a mana and pay 2 life with it. And if you cast a spell with that, it can't be countered. Cavern of Souls, you can name a creature type. Creatures of that type cannot be countered. Dark Depths, which people have combo cubed before,
yeah, they
have. with Thespian Stage. Thespian Stage can become a copy. Dark Depths is one that comes into play with a bunch of ice counters on it. Once you remove all the ice counters, you get a 20/20. If you copy it with Thespian Stage, it's a when it comes into play, it gets all those counters on it. So Thespian Stage is already in play. So it just is this land without any counters, and you can sack it for your giant 20/20 demon.
Just immediately. Sick.
Then there's Desolate Lighthouse, which is one blue red, and I believe you draw a discard, I want to say. Gavinny Township, which is 2 green white, put a +1/+1 counter on all of your creatures. Kessig Wolf Run, which was some, I want to say like X green red, give creatures +X/+0 and trample. These are all different ones. Gavinny Township and Wolf Run and Kessig Wolf Run are both from Innistrad.
Kessig Wolf Run gives some creatures +X/+0, gaining trample until end of turn.
There you go, target creature. So I mentioned those again because you might see them in play in Modern, depending. Like Gavinny Township used to be big in the pod decks. Desolate Lighthouse, some blue red twin plays it. Sometimes a Kessig Wolf Run did have a place in Standard. Then there's Slayer's Stronghold and Sun Home, which are in the Amulet deck and do various good things for your Titans. Caracas, which allows you to bounce a legendary creature. Those are just a couple of examples of ability lands.
I'm looking at Kessig Wolf Run right now.
Yeah.
It's a mythic.
Yeah.
And I think it's really fun when lands are mythic rare and they don't suck.
Yeah.
That's my caveat. They cannot suck for limited. I think that's really, they're really fun. I think that's fun to play with a mythic rare land.
Like I said, standard playable.
Cool.
So there you go. Pretty cool. And again, so many ability lands, Maria. A mountain of ability lands.
Oh yeah, there's probably a million.
A trillion. So anyways, those are a couple that you might see around.
Cool.
Then we have what I call the baller lands. I was just making up names left and right because are just baller. Exceptionally powerful.
Okay.
There's Ancient Tomb, which straight up taps for 2 mana.
Yeah.
It deals you 2 damage in the process, but who gives an F? Taps for 2 mana.
And this was, so boom. This is spoiled recently at the World Magic Cup.
It will be an expedition.
It's going to be an expedition.
Oh, shit.
And it's a really quite beautiful art, actually.
It really is.
If you look beyond the text box, which is kind of not quite nearly see-through enough, as I think a lot of people would like, you can see 2 more dead bodies in this tomb. It's sweet.
It's beautiful. It's so cool.
Yeah, tap, add waste to your mana pool.
Colorless.
Right. This answers some of the questions which we had talked about on the podcast before when we were speculating about waste mana or colorless, the new colorless mana. And this is what it looks like. It's like colorless, a little diamond, colorless. Little diamond.
Then there's also Gaia's Cradle, which taps for green equal to the number of creatures you control. Holy bonkers, and like a ramp deck. Just go crazy. Library of Alexandria, which you can tap to draw a card as long as OP. You have 7. Crazy OP. Nykthos, which we remember from Theros.
Mm-hmm.
2 and tap Devotion. You know, you get to add X of a color where X is your devotion to that color. Talarian Academy, tap for blue equal to the number of artifacts you control. And Vesuva, which comes into play as a copy.
Talarian Academy, notable, because we are members of Talarian Community College.
Exactly. Which the Academy is, you know, a little bougie for us, but... You know.
Yeah, we're just so, at the community college. Exactly. Come on, we don't have the dreams of grandeur.
We want to be here.
We want to be here. Our dad did not go to the Talarian Academy. We were not grandfathered in.
No.
We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps.
At this point, 70% of the people at Talarian Academy were grandfathered in, or like their parents are on the board or whatever.
Isn't that weird? You know, sometimes I remember that you can get grandfathered into Yale, and I'm like...
Oh, it's
or Harvard.
Totally,
I'm like,
stupid.
That's the strangest thing I ever heard.
It totally is super strange.
But like, I mean, what percentage of people at Harvard were grandfathered in?
I have no idea what the percentage is. And to be fair, like, there's still obviously tons of very smart people who earned their way into Harvard.
Yeah, but what if it reminds you
that those institutions aren't entirely about the highest quality education. There's a little bit of like, you know, the old boys club feel to them.
I'm Googling it. I'm Googling it.
We are not talking about higher education reform today on our show, though.
I know, but it's just, like, sometimes I just wonder, you know, we talk about things and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what are you seeing?
Somebody figure this out for us.
All right.
Hashtag MTA Google.
Yeah. Okay, wait. We're almost to the last part. We're so close, Miranda.
Okay, all right. Hit me.
This is the... I saved the what I thought was one of the coolest ones for last.
Ooh, all right.
These are the future site rare lands. And they were... There are five of them. But because it's future site, it's not a normal set, right? They're kind of like, oh, these are cards from the future. These are each... They each have a different ability instead of all having the same ability.
Right.
And some of them, we've already seen this come up. Like Graven Karns is a black-red filter land. And that was the black-red rare duel for that set.
These lands...
And
we've
seen that filter land.
They come true. These cards come true.
It's super cool. Grove of the Burn Willows is kind of like a pain land, except instead of dealing a damage to you, your opponent gains a life.
Cool.
Right? Pretty cool. And that's a green-red. Horizon Canopy taps for green or white. Or you can pay one, tap and sack it to draw a card.
Yeah, and that's in Boggles.
Yeah, and it's a very powerful effect. And then there is River of Tears, which taps to add blue, unless you play to land that turn, in which case it taps to add black.
That's amazing.
Isn't that super crazy?
I love that.
Right? It's very bizarre. Like, it's a very strange effect. And then there's Nimbus Maze, which if you can look it up, I actually don't remember
Nimbus
off the top
Mage.
Of my head. But it's super cool, right? We've seen Graven Karns. We've seen that type of dual land. So we know that these ones in Future Sight might... It's just Nimbus Maze.
Oh, Maze.
Yeah. So we know that it might come true unless
unless it doesn't.
Unless, like, Riggers, they're like... What the fuck
no,
did we do to
whatever.
Ourselves?
Mark Rosewater has promised to solve contraptions. He has promised, and he best deliver, because I want Riggers, and I want contraptions, and I want a crazy weird board state. Make it happen, Mark Rosewater, before you retire. Thank you. Okay, so Nimbus Maze, tap, add one colorless. Tap, add white to your mana pool. Play this ability only if you control an island. Tap, add blue to your mana pool. Play this ability only if you control a plains.
Sweet. There you have it. That was the fifth rare dual land in Future Sight. So maybe stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
Like the gain a life, or you can tap, or you can pay one and sack it to draw a card, or something like this.
Or contraptions, Megan. I'm looking at you, Mark. Do you see this? Do you see me staring into your soul? Hmm? Yeah. Make it happen.
Okay.
That was a threat. A threat of, I don't know, a hug. I'll give you a really long, awkward hug, unless you make this happen.
I mean, don't scare him. yeah, okay, so the last thing I want you to search is Emeria, the Sky Ruin. E-M-E-R-I-A. Because as I was looking at lands, this came up. So you know our friend Emeria Shepherd?
Yeah.
5WW. Landfall, if it's a plains, return a creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. If it's a different land, return a creature from your graveyard to your hand.
Right.
Now, that's current. This one is from Original Zendikar.
Uh-huh.
Emeria, the Sky Ruin, enters the battlefield tapped. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 7 or more planes, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Tap, add white to your mana pool. How awesome is that?
Cool.
I just looked at it and I was like, oh, hey, this is exactly Emeria Shepherd.
Yeah, that's really cool. Wow, they have really bridged the gap.
Anyways, there you go. Then there's also two weird Locust lands, Cloud Post and Glimmer Post. One gains your life equal to the number of Locusts you control. One taps for mana equal to the number of Locusts you control.
What's a Locust?
They are Locusts. Loci. Lokis.
Were there creatures that were locusts?
No, they're locusts. Look,
that's
it's a land dash locust.
But nothing else is a locust, is what I'm asking.
Don't believe so.
Locusts. These are all locust when I search that. Okay.
All right.
Ooh, look at this. Omnath, Locust of Rage. That card is from
the current one. But he's not a locust himself.
No, he's not a locust, but his name is Locust of Rage. That's very interesting.
Anyways.
Huh.
So, Maria.
There was a locust in our midst.
It's been a wild ride.
What?
This land ride.
Oh, yeah. We've been on... This has been a long... It's been
a veritable safari.
Land safari.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're like...
We didn't even talk about all of them. I figured we only talked about half.
That's okay. You did great, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We're like, you know, we're explorers. We're going across the country. We're charting the lands as we go.
We're Lewis and Clarking it. We're not saying we discovered it because we all know it was there already.
You're strapped to my back. And we're going out. I'm wearing you like you're on my little backpack and we're going on our journey.
You're being Dora? That's different from Lewis and Clark.
She's explorers.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying. Well, everybody, I hope your feet aren't too sore from traveling over a bunch of lands with us this episode.
And if they are, just take a nice Epsom salt soak.
Yep. If not, you know, got Dr. Scholes will help you out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we learned a lot today. That was a lot of knowledge to cram into our head cavity.
I'm sorry I dropped all that knowledge on you. If you're trapped and can't get up.
Under all that knowledge.
Call for help.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let you guys know that also what some exciting stuff happened. We talked about lands this episode. Mm-hmm. But there was the World Magic Cup this past weekend.
And it was pretty great.
Very exciting. One of the biggest magic events. Yeah. Countries competing against each other. If you didn't check it out, you can watch replays on Magic's YouTube channel. Yeah, great stuff. Congratulations to Italy. Mm-hmm. They were the reigning champs.
Congrats. In the finals, they played against Thailand.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty sweet.
Something that was interesting to me is the fact that Scotland made the top eight of the World Magic Cup, which was really cool to see. And they wore kilts when they arrived on the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that adorable?
That's adorable.
Some teams had, like, team outfits that they wore for their picture.
Like the Guatemalan team.
The Guatemalan team was so awesome. Was I loved great. It. So, yeah.
Austria and France rounded out the top four.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, congrats to everyone who played in the World Magic Cup. Super cool.
Great event.
So much fun to watch. So if you didn't get a chance to catch it, you can go check it out in the archives on twitch.tv/magic.
They play a very interesting combination of games, including limited and also unified standard, which is different than normal standard.
Yes, it's four copies of a card. Across all three decks. Players.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. Some unique decks, including a teamer deck involving Bounding Krasis.
Oh, yeah.
Some people called it Rebounding Krasis, am I right? So that was really cool to see. Like, it spiced it up a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see new decks. And I'm wondering, are people going to be like, hey, maybe I should play this in actual standard? I don't know.
I mean, definitely. It's worth trying out, man.
I want to find out. Something else that happened was there was a big spoiler that happened. So a lot of cards from Oath of the Gatewatch, and including the new Innistrad, Shadows of Innistrad, were spoiled before their time.
The ones from Shadows, I think, were just... ones that will be in dual decks potentially.
Okay. So, yeah, this happened. It was not planned by Wizards. No. So, somebody's getting in trouble. But if you're interested in this sort of thing, a lot of the lands are spoiled and some of the mythics. You can go and check it out on Reddit is where you can see it.
Or if you don't want to see it, we're not going to tell you what they are here.
Yeah,
because we totally respect if you're like, it's too early for spoilers. I can't handle it.
I know, because spoiler season is one of my personal favorite things about Magic is like waking up every morning and seeing what the new spoilers
were. Smelling the spoilers in the air.
Yep. And so, yeah, we're not going to do that to you. We're just going to talk about stuff that has been officially spoiled when it comes out. But if you want to seek this out, you can go and find out for yourselves what's happened. Some pretty spicy stuff. That's all I'll say.
Pretty spicy.
Because I have no, what's the word?
I don't know.
Restraint. Oh. And I looked at it.
Yeah.
Bad, Maria. Do you guys want to see my bruise?
Yeah, show it.
Okay.
It's really
This is an disturbing. Incentive if you only listen to the podcast.
Don't live in Minnesota.
Check that
this
out.
This is an incentive to not live in Minnesota because Maria slipped and fell down her stairs.
Yeah, I did. All right. So there you go. Thanks for listening to this episode, everyone. It was great to learn all of this. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, magicthamateuring.com, also on Tolarian Community College on YouTube. All our podcasts are now video, so you can see our faces.
Get that sweet footage only at Tolarian Community College YouTube channel.
That's right. And follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. And remember, you can buy these sweet-ass shirts. Women's and men's availables. We got so many men's mediums, you guys. If you're a man who is a medium, get in there because we've got the most of that somehow.
If you're a medium man who knows other medium-sized men, just go ahead and get them for like all you guys. All you guys.
Oh, if you're a lady, keep in mind they do run a little small. Megan's wearing a small. I'm wearing a large. If you need any kind of like comparison for what size you might want to wear. I usually wear a medium, but yeah, this large is much more comfortable. So there you go. Check it out. We're really excited about it. As we said before, you can also get these by becoming a patron on Patreon. Right now, Patreon has done something, which I should probably update you all about in case you go to the website. We are doing Magic the Prothering.
Yes.
Our next episode will be out soon. And we did that because we reached a $300 reward level on Patreon per episode. And now on Patreon, instead of showing what people are donating, it's showing the total amount minus Patreon fees, minus PayPal fees, minus declined pledges from the month before. So right now we're at something like $250 or something like that.
Oh,
so I would, you know, I'm just kind of like, hey, everybody, let's try and get us back up to actual 300 if we can.
Yeah.
If this show is of value to you every week, if it is something you enjoy listening to, please consider donating. We would love to have you on board and you'll get some sweet rewards too.
Yeah.
So that's my little spiel.
That's our episode. You find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny_Unicorny.
If you have a siege rhino, tear it to pieces.
No, Megan, don't, because they want to send it to you. She's still working on that P.O. box, you guys. You better send her so many reminder emails.
Okay.
Okay.
Until next time. Suck it, Siege Rhino.